Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors
and
shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Please send any questions or show updates to insightintohealing@gmail.com and check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at ccbpublishing.aservodidio.html, or for an autographed copy, send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, tonight we have such an incredible show. On the line, I have a returning guest, Dr. Jeffrey Rosenthal. Dr. Rosenthal has been in private practice since 1985 with offices in Fairfield, Connecticut and New York City. He is an accomplished artist, lecturer, national medical book reviewer, and a board-certified plastic surgeon. Dr. Rosenthal has served as a chief of plastic surgery at Bridgeport Hospital, is a board member of the Connecticut Society of Plastic Surgeons, and is known for his compassion, dedication to his patients, along with his unique ability to meld art and science together. Dr. Rosenthal, thank you, and welcome back to Insight into Healing.
Oh, great to be back on again, Alexa. Thank you for that wonderful intro.
Of course, and it's been so incredible. We were talking a little bit before the show about all the work that you do, and now you were just telling me about a new procedure called the Silhouette Instalift. What is that exactly?
Silhouette Instalift is just an amazing procedure that has been used in Europe for a number of years, and the FDA approved it in this country about 2 years ago. Basically, it is a absorbable thread with little mini cones on it that are bidirectional. And what you do is you take this thread and it's placed under the skin in an area where it doesn't hurt in the fat. The cones anchor the tissues, and I'm able to lift the lower face, the laxity, up of the jawline, the cheek, and the upper neck. And over 6 months, these threads and cones are totally absorbed. As they're absorbed, they stimulate your native collagen. So it not only lifts the tissues, but it replaces lost volume, which is what we see when aging occurs. So it is just a remarkable procedure. It's outpatient, minimal discomfort, and almost no downtime.
But who determines who's a good candidate for this procedure?
Well, that's the importance of a consultation, and that's the importance of the plastic surgeon taking the time to really evaluate your face and pick up the asymmetries, which we all have in our face, and the imbalances so that it can be addressed. You have to feel the skin. You have to see the texture of the skin. If it's too thick, too thin, there's very deep wrinkles, those are the individuals that would be better served with a surgical facelift versus this procedure. So this doesn't replace a surgical facelift, which is really great for lifting the neck, tightening the jaw, and repositioning tissues. This is an in-between stage, someone who's a little younger, someone who has moderate laxity as opposed to the full-blown laxity or hanging of the face.
Okay. So would you recommend doing this procedure before a facelift if they were a good candidate, or would someone just wait for the facelift? What would you recommend?
Well, it's sort of like walking into your home and seeing the walls need painting, and you can say, well, I could wait a few years. I guess you could. But if there's something to correct, and that's what an honest surgeon who looks at you will be able to address and say, you know, this will benefit you, or you can wait, and you should really wait for a facelift. And looking at the neck, looking at the jawline will determine which procedure is optimal for you. And nowadays, we want pretty instantaneous rejuvenation, and using surgical, the fillers that we use, and this procedure, within days, the individuals can be revitalized, rejuvenated, and look just great. I mean, so it's a good in-between stage, yes.
And if someone has never had any plastic surgery, any type of lift, would this be something for someone for a first time? They're noticing, you know, some of the aging, they're not very happy, especially if they're in the entertainment business. The camera picks up every little flaw. Would this be something to recommend to help them, you know, get through the next couple of years? How would that work?
Well, the nice part about the Silhouette InstaLift is that it lasts up to 2 years. And during this time, it's replaced, again, the volume in your face, which we lose. We lose the deeper fat. We lose the deeper muscle and bone. All those tend to thin and wither as we age, and that's why the skin doesn't have an anchoring point and it comes down. So this is an in-between stage where it really rejuvenates the face, really lifts up the mid and lower cheek, and gives you a nicer, distinct jawline. So in photographs or in person, you just look revitalized and healthy. That's the key to all good cosmetic surgery, to make you look natural. And that's what I strive for. You have to analyze a face. You have to say what is best for the patient. And then you have to have all these different procedures to choose which is ideal for them. And with lifestyles nowadays, everyone wants to get back to work very quickly, and they want to look well in a very rapid way. And this is a great way to do it.
Yes, and I think what you brought up before about looking natural, because I know we all see those disaster makeovers and things on television with those new reality TV shows. How does someone steer away from that? Because I know people get nervous, well, I don't want to look that everybody knows I had some work done. What happens to that? Would someone be able to realize someone had the silhouette, or would it be go unnoticed, someone just looks refreshed?
No, the great part about this procedure is that when done correctly, and there are a lot of people that do it, but again, just like facelift, there's a lot of surgeons and non-surgeons that are doing facelifts, and if you don't really know the movement of the facial tissues and the right vectors, the angles that they're supposed to go up, then you will look unnatural. But if you're professional and you have artistic input into it, everything should be lifted in a very natural, smooth way, and it shouldn't be tight, shouldn't be pulled, and it shouldn't deform your face. It should make you look better, not worse.
Yes. And how come there are, as you said, that there's some professionals who can do this who are really not trained to be doing these facelifts, these different procedures? How do they get away with doing that? And what are some warning signs so my listeners can say, okay, this person isn't the right professional or trained even to be doing any of these procedures?
Well, you want to look at their board certification. You want to make sure, you know, surgeons work on tissues of the face. They know the tensions and how they're supposed to move. Those are the individuals that would be more facile in doing this. You have to have good eye-hand coordination to place these threads and know what you're doing. The other thing you want to do is you want to look at before and after photographs of patients that they've done, so you can get an estimation of what they look like. And when I show facelifts or I show Silhouette InstaLift, I show a whole gamut of photos, of a whole range of photos, so that the individuals say, well, you know, this is what I look like, or this is what I might look like. Now, everyone's face is different, and so looking at my photos, you will never find your face. But you can say, I like these, or you know what? I'm not so crazy about them. Hopefully you'll say you like them. So looking at the before and after photos, looking at the credentials of the individual, and also having a consultation and seeing that they really know what they're doing and they know how to take care of you. You know, even with a facelift surgery or the InstaLift, it's not just the procedure, but it's how you take care of the individual. And you have to treat them as a human being. You don't just take care of a face, but you look at their health history. You make sure that they're healthy before before you do any procedure or surgery. And then you give them very in-depth instructions on how to take care of themselves before and after so that the results are great. And if you don't put all the time and effort into this, well, then you'll fail.
Yes. I think so many times you see these places that do different procedures, or it's almost the customer service is lacking. It's almost kind of like a fast food chain that people go in and out, and they really need to know you get what you pay for. You really have to make sure you sit down, have a consultation. And I think also with your background, you really bring so many more credentials to the table as an artist. How do you use that with your work and your vision?
Well, it's creativity. I love one of the great parts of being a plastic surgeon is that I can create my surgical facelifts or my techniques that I've used, the muscles of the neck. Instead of pulling them forward, I anchor them in a very natural way, going back and lifting the whole face. And when you're doing the silhouette insta-lift, you have to, again, understand the movements of the face and the variances of the face, and you have to make it natural. And having a medical background, surgical experience, and having a creative eye and hands to execute that really makes a big difference. It's like sculpting for me. I love to create, whether I'm painting or sculpting something, and it's just another form of my art. It's a very high form of art.
Yes. And during the Instalift, is it very painful? Are people, since it's not actually like a facelift, are you under anesthesia? Are you kind of in twilight? What would people expect? Would they feel something? Would it be painful?
That's a great question. When you do a surgical facelift, you're brought to an operative theater, and I like my patients to be totally asleep, although it's a very light anesthesia because I've injected the face to make it numb, so the anesthesiologist who keeps you asleep just gives you oxygen and makes you very lightly asleep, and we monitor you. When I do these procedures, they're done in my surgical facility, my minor operating room, and it's done under local anesthetic. You inject a few little spots on the face after you mark where you're going to place the threads. And through these little spots, you make a tiny little pin stick, and through the pin stick, you're threading them in the fat of the skin underneath the skin, which does not have much sensation. And then the skin and tissues are lifted up. So there's very, very little discomfort. You feel, when I inset the cones, you just feel a little popping. It doesn't hurt at all. And then afterwards, there's absolutely no pain whatsoever. And I might add, when I do a surgical facelift, there's no pain afterwards, because if you're gentle with the tissues and you take your time, you don't rush through anything, which I never do. I always tell my patients, whatever it's scheduled, the time, it doesn't matter to me. I will take my time, and when I'm finished, I'm finished. I have to be happy. If I'm happy, I know you're going to be happy. So these procedures are done under local anesthetic. You go right out of the office. The only thing I ask afterwards is that you don't have a big steak dinner and you're chewing a lot. You have to watch your activities for the first week. You can't lie face down. You can't have facials. You can't go in a hot tub, because you want the threads and the cones to stabilize under the tissues. After the first week, you can go back to almost all activities except for mud wrestling or contact sports. And then after that, it's great. And within 36 hours, most of the individuals look 100% better, and then it continues to improve over 6 months, which is how the threads are absorbed, or when they're absorbed, producing your own collagen. So the face continues to improve, and then it stays that way for up to 2 years.
Wow. And when you've been referring to thread, is it actually a thread? What is it, or a surgical thread? What is that actually?
Well, that's a great question. It's a component of two polymers. And basically, if you've ever heard of sculpture was brought about for AIDS patients who had sunken faces. And what they realized that it would stimulate your own collagen. So it became in vogue to use for cosmetic procedures to stimulate your collagen. So part of the thread is made of the same polymer, a glycolic polymer that is like sculpture, and the other one is another thread that we use that is also used in surgery, and both of them are totally absorbable, both very safe, and both, again, stimulate your collagen. So they're just a very simple thread with mini cones on it, and they look just like a thread, attached to needles that are placed under the tissues.
It's just so incredible. How long has this Silhouette InstaLift been around? I mean, this is just, I mean, it's incredible just to think about the whole procedure and how it's done.
It's been used in Europe, like most of our procedures and products. They start out in Europe because the FDA is a little bit more stringent here. So they start there. It's been used for many years with very, very few complications. And then it was brought here in about 2015. It was approved by the FDA for us to use on our patients. So it's been used for quite a while in thousands and thousands of patients. With very little downtime and almost no complications except perhaps a little bruising. And you can get a little dimpling right where the needle is placed if it's placed too superficially. And that's where the technique is very critical in doing this and how you place the thread itself.
So are there really any risk factors or safety concerns, someone? Because, you know, sometimes you look up on all these procedures, you look at risk factors or safety concerns, and people can get really nervous. Is there anything to be concerned about other than, like, the dimpling?
Well, the Silhouette InstaLift should not be construed or misconstrued as the older products that were out there that were non-absorbable threads. The other ones that had had little feathering of the actual thread that didn't hold and lift the underlying tissues, nor were they absorbed over time. And so because they stayed around, the body looked at this as if it were a foreign material and said, you know, we don't want you here. We want to get rid of you. And it was unable to absorb it and do that. And so it produced cysts and abscesses and all kinds of problems with those threads. These new threads, because they are totally absorbable, do not do that. And as they're absorbed, they are stimulating your collagen. So the downside to it is really minimal. Occasionally, you can feel one of the cones under a thin area of skin, which is not visible, but you may feel it when you press down. Other than that, there's very few things that will go wrong except perhaps for some bruising, which can occur with any procedure. Anytime you place a needle or puncture the skin, you can get a little bruising. You should be off aspirin, Advil, vitamin E, fish oil, all the products that cause bleeding about 10 days to 2 weeks before to reduce that amount of bruising. And also you should, again, not do strenuous activities and be careful for the first week so the cones that are being anchored in the tissues can stabilize.
Okay. So if someone listening had one of those other threads put in that weren't able just to be absorbed by the skin, could they come to you and say, can I have these removed and then have the Silhouette? I mean, is that possible? What does someone do?
Well, it becomes a problem because they get embedded in scar tissue, and the thread would have to be isolated and then removed. They're not so easy to take out once they're in the deeper scar tissue, and it depends upon what part of the face they were placed and if you are having problems. If you're not having any issues with the thread at all, and they're just you just know that they are not functional anymore, well, then they can be left alone. If someone is having an issue with them, then they should really go back to the individual who placed them because they know where they were put. They should have records of it and ask them to have the threads removed if possible.
Okay. Okay. And how does Botox fit in with all this? Because I know with the Silhouette facelift, with all of that, and then Botox, would one... Can you do them at different times in your life? Is one preferred depending on the candidate?
Well, Botox is basically used for the upper face, and my philosophy is not to paralyze the upper face. Botox is a purified protein. It comes from botulism, although you have to use millions of dollars worth of the product to really hurt you. It's used in infants. It's used on the elderly. It's used for bladder problems, for joint problems. It's probably one of the most widely used medicines in the world at this point. And the way I use it is I like to balance the forehead. So there's two sides of the forehead, and each side is being innervated differently and having one brow higher or lower. And if you put little spots of Botox all over the forehead, it tends also to smooth out the glands of the skin. So you get a smoother appearance because it's working on the underlying muscle, and it's also affecting the oil and the pores of the skin. And then I place it right above the eyebrow itself, little micro amounts of Botox, so that will also help to balance the brows. So if you do this correctly, the forehead should look smoother. You should have some motion of the forehead, because if you don't move, it sort of looks like you can't animate and it looks fake. So you don't want that. But you want it to look natural, and it reminds me of a story of these two women that were on a soap opera, and they had Botox, and the director said, look angry, and they said, we are. And he said, well, I don't understand. You're not looking angry. And he said, no, we are. And he said, well, what'd you do? And so we had Botox. He said, well, you know, how could you animate and look natural if you're paralyzed? So the object is not to paralyze, but to balance and make you look refreshed and calmer. And that's how you use Botox. Botox very rarely is used on the lower face. Some people will put it around the mouth, but optimally it's better to put fillers in those areas rather than paralyze a muscle. Paralyze the muscle, then it affects your smile. So yes, Botox can be used with the Silhouette Instalift, and it can also be used with other facial fillers to enhance the volume and contour of the cheeks.
And once you paralyze the muscle, in years will it be able to move again, or once it's paralyzed? I mean, because that's kind of frightening to think about that, too, that if it doesn't start moving again, what happens?
Well, it will. Botox is engineered to go away in about 3.5 to 4 months in most individuals. When you do Botox every 3.5 to 4 months for about a year, what you'll notice is that the forehead looks smoother even though the Botox has been worn off, because the way I'm balancing the muscles, the eyebrows, the position will improve, and also the pores will be smoother. But it has worn off in about 3.5 months. So even if it's placed in the wrong position, which hopefully it isn't by individuals, hopefully they're analyzing the forehead very well and knowing what the brow and the lids are doing. But if it does paralyze something that it shouldn't, it will wear off.
How do you know, or how would someone know when they keep coming to you if they're starting to get addicted to plastic surgery? Because I think we hear all these stories about people, or we know people who just keep coming back. How do you handle that when someone, you know, starts getting that they have to come back all the time to try new different things, and you know, their self-esteem is low?
Well, it's called being ethical. You have to evaluate someone and understand why they're wanting to look well, whether it's for a business or personal. You never want to do someone if they're doing it for someone else. They have to do it for themselves. And then you have to say what's appropriate. I have patients that will sometimes come back and say, you know, I want my lips made bigger. And I'll say, you know, it really doesn't look good if your lips are too large. You don't want to look like a fish pouting. You want to look very natural. So it's up to the surgeon to moderate what the individual is asking for, and to create a plan. It's upkeep, basically. Good cosmetic surgery is upkeep. If you had a house that was 4 years of age and you never did the roof, you never painted the outside, you didn't change the furnace, you'd say, what an amazing home this is. Well, the human body is the most sophisticated organism around, and it needs upkeep. It needs good skin care. It needs good sunblocks. It needs great nutrition, exercise. It needs brain balance. It needs calmness, and then it needs some cosmetic surgery to enhance our facial features, which are changing over time. As I said, the facial fat in many compartments in the face wither or atrophy. The bone also sinks and changes, and the attachments of the muscles change. And so these have to be addressed and altered, and they should be addressed in a very natural way. And when I do fillers of the face, I will do some filler, and I will bring them back in a week or two to see what it looks like instead of overdoing it. You could always do more, but you can't take it away easily. So the object is to do it slowly and to counsel the person appropriately and to really find out what the motivation is for having the cosmetic surgery as well.
Yes, and I really agree with also what you said about you have to also, yes, you have these procedures, the surgery done, but you have to have a good diet, exercise, and also take care and do your part. You can't just have this done and then go out and smoke and do all these different things and think that, you know, that's healthy too. I think that's a really important part. It's a whole lifestyle. People have to be able to take care of themselves. I think that's really a powerful thing too that you also promote. Also, you're an artist, but also about, you know, keeping healthy mind, body, and soul too.
Well, I'm a true believer. I also believe that I can't make you beautiful. I can make you attractive. Beauty comes from within. And so a combination of being a kind person, of being altruistic, of going out and being nice and smiling really makes you more beautiful and makes you more attractive to people. But keeping track of your body and eating well and not just eating fast foods and eating and learning to cook, you can't be healthy if you're eating out every night, even if you're eating healthy foods. You have to learn good nutrition. You have to exercise every day, and it's got to be lifestyle. You have to enjoy it, and you have to feel it, and then you will be healthier and live longer. You get one body in life. You're not issued two. And you have to take care of it. And part of it is that you have to participate. I can only do so much for you.
Do you recommend, with eating habits, with certain foods that are really great for the skin, to keeping it looking fresh, do you have any tips or secrets for my listeners?
Well, you know, coconut used to be touted as terrible, too high in cholesterol, but now we know that it has great nutrients in it that really do enhance the skin. Some people eat it, they cook with it, and some actually put some of it on their skin for an emollient. Good fish. I tend to eat a lot of salmon. It has very good omega fatty acids in it. You have to watch where the fish is gathered from. Certain farm-raised is not as good as wild, but then again, certain farm-raised, if it's done correctly, is also good. So everything in moderation. I tend not to eat a lot of fried foods. I don't think the batter is very healthy for you. It adds tons of calories and holds the fat. You have to have good fats. So it's just a matter of looking through some books and picking out some good recipes on my website. I actually have some of my personal recipes that I've put up there, some for bouillabaisse and other fish diet products that, you know, look pretty good. So they can look at that. But there's tons of recipe books out nowadays. But you have to really be involved with what you're eating and not just eat out all the time.
Yes. And you just read my mind. I was just about to ask you, how can people contact you? How can they come in for a consultation to meet with you, to speak with you about any of these procedures or surgeries?
Well, there's two ways. They can look at my website, which has a plethora of information and that I've written myself. They're my personal before and after photos of my patients. And my website is Art of Plastic Surgery. That's all one word, ARTOFPLASTIC, surgery.com. My Facebook is also Rosenthal Cosmetics, so they can see things there, which I am putting recipes and other blogs that I put there. Or they can give my office a call, and we'd be glad to chat with you. And that's 203-335-3223. That's in Fairfield, Connecticut, and then hooks you up to us. So any of those methods will connect you.
Great. Because it's just so incredible. I know I had you on my show a few years back, and it's just your passion and your dedication and your professionalism really makes you unique and really stand apart and above the rest. I can really compliment and really commend you for all the work you do.
Well, thank you. I enjoy my patients. We chat. They come in. I never rush them through. I don't run an assembly line. And I also tell them that I do all the work in the office. I take every thread out and put every thread in. There's no nurse doing what I do. I like to see how things heal. I like to have hands-on, and I like to make sure that they're happy and doing very well. That's what I've been trained for, and that's my personality.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, we're at the end of the show, and again, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on again. It was just my pleasure.
Oh, I most appreciate your having me, and I wish your listeners a just fantastic day.
Thank you. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.